Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Pulling On to Heaven podcast. Pastor, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you, Steve?
I am doing fantastic. And I am so sorry to everyone tuning in because we just finished the most amazing conversation and now we have nothing left to talk about.
I think we always shoot, two podcasts for every one.
Yeah, I think so. We need to be the behind the scenes is way better conversations, I think, most of the time.
We just don't capture the first one, right?
Yeah. But we were just having this great kind of off camera or pre camera conversation about the nature of the temporal versus the eternal, about how we see things versus how God sees things, and about how we look at kind of the purpose and things we're doing and the things that we feel God is calling us to, the impacts that we can have. And I remember making a statement kind of about the idea that a lot of the impact or influence, no matter what your calling is in life, you know, I mean, everyone wants to be influential and have as great of impact as possible. And some careers have a greater chance for not impact, because I think your impact could be just as great on the most intimate level, but you can reach more people. Let's say, you know, I'm a filmmaker and my dream was to always be Steven Spielberg and make the biggest movies in the world and then have everyone love them and see all that kind of stuff. And you know what? God's gotten me doing a whole bunch of great stuff, but my career hasn't gotten to that. And I still reach to that. And we were talking about the ideas of how, you know what, if I had gotten the success that I wanted when I was young, it probably would have just crushed me. And it would have kept me from becoming the person that I am. And God's much more concerned about that than the actual things that I do or the things that I accomplish for him.
Yeah. And you know what, it's also working out of the base of being confident in who you are in him.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, As believers, okay, and we can just say it in the broad spectrum of the world, you know, if someone doesn't know Christ, they just want to do the best they can. They'll say here, I'm doing my best, and, you know, I hope, you know, my dreams come true. But we're talking about believers here, and if you believe that Christ dwells in you and his spirit and his word dwells in you, your belief, what do you really believe, maybe, is the question. Yeah. What do you really believe? Do you really believe that? And if the foundation that we begin our excursion into life and our journey and ventures into success, if the foundation for a believer, anyone, everyone should be receive Christ as Lord and Savior. But as a believer, our foundation should be who Christ in us is and who we know him to be and our endeavors to connect with who he is in us and who he is. You know, in the nature of his spirit, God is a spirit. What is the nature of God? And the Holy Spirit will reveal the nature of God. And we start from the basis of, I know who Christ is. You know, I know he's a God of love. He's a God of kindness. He's a God of righteousness, holiness, patience, truth. He's every good and perfect thing. And that's what I have. And instead of I'm starting with nothing, I'm starting with everything. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning with everything. It really opens your mind up. Yeah. To a lot broader spectrum of possibilities. And any possibility employed by faith can become a reality. But when we start off in comparison, you know, I would like to be like, I want to be like, we lose our own identity in reality. And our drive, our insight isn't really who we are in Christ, but maybe who someone else is in Christ or not.
Yeah.
And it's a wrong road to take. It really is Christ. Who am I in you? And who are you in me? That's what I want to know. And it really is in asking God those questions that God reveals. Those questions God will answer, and to no demise to our own nature or ourselves. We're not hurting ourselves by asking for something. The word says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. And because what you're asking for is something that you can just consume on your own lust. So we're not even asking God for who he is, which is eternal life. We're really asking God for something we can throw in the fire and burn up. Mm. You know, and instead of God, show me the eternity that you are on the inside of me. I'm telling you, the world will change when the idea, the revelation of we are created in his image, and we start saying, God, show me who you are in me, instead of show me how to become more like this or more like that, or show me how to become more like you. Show me who you are in me, because I know you're already in there. because you're all of God that you're ever going to be, and that's everything. So who are you in me? From that foundation, we start to build a whole different platform of ideas and creativity and revelation, and that God can reveal. He's not going to reveal you as someone else because that's not who you are, but he will reveal you as who you are.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the wall we run into is that it's not us. It's not the door we were called to walk through. And that door is God. Who are you in me? I know you're present, and we begin with what we know. You know, you're Christ in me. What does that mean? You're salvation. I'm free. I'm sinless in through you, not of myself. At least any man should boast. It's a gift of God, but I have my identity from you.
Yeah.
And I am a very unique individual. You created for your purpose and your pleasure. So when you start talking like that, you really lose your own misfit identity, and mm-hmm. you start gaining the true identity of who Christ in you is, which we've said many, many, many times, but in reality, you start knowing who he is that's dwelling on the inside of you, and then that world opens up in a lot greater way. A lot more opportunities open to you. You're able to do a lot more. You're able to accomplish a lot more because now this is Christ in you and not someone else's accomplishment or Christ in someone else. It's Christ in me, and we make it a very, very personal relationship, and I think a lot of times the church loses that real personal identity between us and God, and you end up with an identity crisis. You know, yeah. Why is God angry with me? Or, you know, why is the devil trying to, you know, defeat, you know, like having such success and trying to overcome me? Why do I feel so discouraged and so far away from God? And what's, you know, those are all questions that should never be in the heart and the mind of a believer. And God understands that because he knows what it feels like to have all those things. Jesus suffered everything man has ever suffered in one moment's time on the cross. So he does understand, but he's made a way out, but not just a way out. And we've talked about, it's like getting out of prison. If you have no place else to go, where do you end up? Back in prison. But have a better place to go. And where is that? Christ, I know you dwell in me. Declare the word of God. I say it all the time. Let your ear hear your mouth say what God has said to you, what God says in the word, and identify with it. I am a new creation. I'm a new creature. Everything old has passed away. I haven't missed anything. My life isn't fittering and failing and falling away and decaying. And, you know, I am renewed every day. If we take on these identities that God gives us within his word, I am fully confident and fully convicted that we will transform physically, mentally, emotionally, in our endeavors in life successfully. Because God is success all the time. There is no failure in Christ. He has no opponent. You know, being overcome is not an opponent to God. He can't be overcome. He's God. Failure is not an opponent to God. There is no failure in God. He is the way. His way is perfect. He is the truth. He is the life. And that dwells on the inside of you. So there is something beyond someone you have seen that God has called you to be.
Yeah.
Because that's not them. This is you, you know, that is them, this is us. And the Christ within me and Lord, I know you dwell in me, I know you're with me, I know I'm fully successful, I'm fully accomplished on the inside. Now help me identify with that success that you have already made me to be.
Yeah.
Because your word says you've given it all to me and that I lack nothing. The word says, there's a scripture that says the young lion, the young, strong, healthy lion can get hungry and thirsty and lack. But they that wait, they that fear, they that trust the Lord will lack nothing, no good thing. So it's kind of, you know, you take your faith and easy to apply your faith to everything you don't have without realizing you're doing it. And you're believing, you know, I never did this and I never accomplished that. And listen to what you have. You have. You have accomplished if you'll stop being dictated to by what you don't see and say, the word of the Lord is Lord of my life. It is the commanding force of my life. And God says, I have everything. Now I'm going to go in and find it. I'm going to find what Christ is in me. Just like the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. I'm going to search the deep things of God within myself by the Holy Spirit through his word. I don't lack a thing. And when you start thinking and talking that way, that spirit of condemnation and failure just vanishes because you're speaking the truth and you're seeing who Christ in you is. And then things you weren't able to accomplish, you're able to accomplish because it's no longer I, but Christ that lives in me.
You were speaking, I forget the specifics of the message a couple of weeks ago, and and part of what came up was, again, the idea, and you speak about this a lot, is of the Lord orders our steps, yeah. My steps are ordained in the Lord. And just that revelation in terms of things you do, and I think about if you bring it down to something really applicable, like your career, your job, whatever your job is, and right. You know, and the things like you got a big presentation, you got a big meeting, you got this thing coming up, and how much of the time, you know, it's, okay, God, I just pray that you'd be with me in that meeting. I pray that everything would go well in the meeting. I just pray that, and it's all good and noble, I think, but it, and so much is playing, it's praying from a place of lack versus a place of, oh, I'm going to this meeting today. You've ordained my steps. I'm going to walk in there, and it's either your purpose and will for it to go this way, or however it's going to go, if I'm submitted to you in faith, is going to be according to your purpose and will. So what am I anxious about? What am I concerned about? And how do I not have confidence? Because I know that if I walk into this meeting and the door gets slammed right in my face, well, then obviously if my steps are ordained, that was the experience that you wanted me to bring me into there. Yeah. So I think if I'm trying to wrap my head around that and walk that out on a daily basis, because that changes everything. And talk about your sense of what is successful or not, because the success that we think we want it to be in any given situation, that's not necessarily at all what God's success is supposed to be for that.
And it wouldn't be satisfying.
I know.
You know, the only thing that satisfies, again, the only way to walk in the sense of being really satisfied day to day, do you think really God really wants us to feel every day like we're just not there yet? Like it's almost like feeling like I'm not completely saved yet, but someday I will be.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that's not God. God doesn't say, here's enough to get you by, you know, to the next day. That's why he said, don't take thought for tomorrow. You know, say, this is a day God has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad today. What God has given me is significant today. And again, it comes back to, you know, if you were someone out in the middle of nowhere and you didn't know anybody and you had food to eat and water to drink and, you know, maybe a few chickens or cows or goats or
sure,
whatever
right.
it is, you probably feel like, man, I've got everything.
Yeah.
No one to compare it with. But it's that comparison that makes us think that we need to come up to the bar. You know, we're here and everybody else is here. And why did they get this? And why did they get that? And you're never listening for who Christ in you is, for what God is saying, this is who you are. And I think sometimes we could use that remote experience where we just cleanse our minds of any other experience anyone else has had and just say, God, who are you in me? Yeah. Who are you in me? And yeah. He'll reveal it to you. Jesus, that was Jesus's life. It's not me, it's the Father. And whatever he walked into or walked through, this is the will of the Father. I mean, Jesus didn't always get accolades. He got a lot of jeers and a lot of, you know, you're not God and you're not the Son of God and you have a devil and all kinds of terrible things. And he was rejected. And this is the Son of God that made the world and knew who he was. And the world received him not, the word says, but they rejected him and they didn't worship him as God. Let's not be guilty of the same thing. Let's worship God as God right here, right now in his fullness. And when you go into that meeting or you go into that interview and say, God, I'm directed by you because I'm here. And every place that I go, you're there. You said, the word says, where could I go from the presence of the Lord? I can't go any place without running into you. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, you're before me and behind me. You're beneath and above me. You're all around me. You surround me. So I'm going here under the volition and the power and the understanding, the authority that God is with me in all things, and I lack nothing. And whatever this day unfolds is to your glory, and it's going to be incredible. There's never really a closed door. Mm-hmm. God may just be shutting you in for something he wants you to pay attention to.
Yeah,
or he's shutting you into a bigger picture, not allowing you to be closed into a smaller venue. God has something greater than you imagine, and that's what the word says. His will, his way, his purpose is exceeding our imagination, more than we could ask or think. But that's God in you, not God in someone else. And if it really is Christ in you, and that's what you're looking for, you just no longer continue to feel unaccomplished or lacking success. And still, there's always that driving force in everyone. I'd like to do the next thing. And that's a part of the nature of being alive. and being able to apply our faith to it. But to be discouraged because you didn't hit the mark, sure you did. The moment that you expressed your faith in any given area, I'm going into this meeting, God, and I know your will be done. That's your faith talking. Okay, if you just expressed your faith in God, don't tell me that it was a failure or you weren't successful, for it is written, the just shall live by faith, not by every experience they anticipate being the way they want it to be, but the moment you employ your faith, believing God to be God in you, that's what we should believe him for. You're successful the moment that you turn the key of faith on in your heart and say, God, the moment you push that button and say, God, we started. We're going there by faith. You're living by faith. You're fulfilling the word of God. What is not successful about that?
Man. So when God then gives you a word, God points you in a direction, and it's always such a tricky thing, having walked this out for so many years now, and that idea, the difference between, okay, he gave you the word and he gave you something to kind of be looking towards, but it's not about that thing. It's about the person you become in the midst of that. So, but it's all kind of a setup anyways, right?
Kind of a setup, Steve.
So the point, you gain it, you become that. And at the end of the day, if we're talking about eternity in the face of our temporal world, you know, it's like we get those things. And I guess it's just God has to relate to us in a way of humanity that we understand. But it's like let's say you become king of the world. You get everything you want of this world, but it turns out that this was just a little sandbox Lego set, and you show up in heaven and everything's backwards and upside down. And you think you get a pat on the back because you became king of the, you know, king of the playground, which in heaven, they're like patting you on the head going, you missed it completely.
Yeah.
The goal wasn't to be the king of the playground. The goal is to be the servant of the playground, or whatever it is. You know, like you said, our comparisons and our goals. But I do think it's interesting that the way God baits us in those certain things.
Sure.
And the way that it's almost, and he did it throughout the Bible too. And I mean, the book of Hebrews talks about all the people who died in faith never having achieved it. Did that make their faith not valid? No, but could they have ever gotten it? These are heroes of faith that did the right thing. They didn't get the thing that they were told to believe for. And so is the setup, God's not willy-nilly about that stuff either.
No.
So there's still point and purpose to it. There's still something he wants done.
Yeah, it's walking towards the evidence of who Christ in you is and what he can do. Now, how that unfolds, Abraham, he says to, the Lord says he's going to bless him, and Abraham says, well, what will you give me? Because I don't have any lineage, I don't have any seed. And God says, I'll give you a son. More than that, I'll give you nations. Okay, and then Abraham goes on, and nothing. God says, I will give you nations. And then look at the stars. Goes on. I mean, it's a minute. So, I mean, is God toying with him? Of course not. When a man is tempted, let not that man say, I'm tempted of God, because God can't be tempted with evil. He doesn't tempt anyone. But he does bait the passion of our faith, because that's where we live.
Yeah.
And that's where God is expressed. And for us to believe for something great and wonderful that we have vision for is perfect. There isn't anything wrong with that. But to have the confidence that what God is going to do is exactly my call, my purpose, that's my real goal. What is your goal is the question. Well, that I could accomplish this or that. What about my goal is to live by faith towards Jesus Christ and know that whatever I look for and however it turns out, if what turns out doesn't match my vision, that's God showing me something that I wasn't aware of. Just like he said, exceeding abundant and beyond all you know to ask or think.
Absolutely.
And why is it that if it doesn't turn out the way we see it, since we see so temporal and God sees so eternal, what is it we think that didn't happen that was supposed to happen? It's really short-sightedness.
Yeah.
And because in a lot of ways, I think we're conning ourselves. We're not being honest with ourselves. We're saying, I'll know you're God if you can satisfy this desire of my heart. I'll know that you're God with me. Instead of, if you exceed my imagination and I don't get everything that I'm asking for the way I want it, but I get it in a greater measure, show me what that is.
Yeah.
You see, it's just, there's something better. And the moment that you express your faith, God did something, because he cannot resist on, let's use the word acting, or on your faith. God is going to manifest or demonstrate something in you, around you, about you, the moment that you act in faith, because you're acting in faith on who He is and in who He is. And God can't resist that. God loves faith. And the word says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And remember, there's that the time when Thomas comes to Jesus and he says, you know, I want to, he says to the disciples, if I can put my finger in his side and in his hand, then I'll believe. And he could, and that was one way of believing, okay? It was one way of believing. But Jesus was after something deeper that we get to experience that maybe some of the disciples didn't, because they were witness to Christ.
Yeah.
They were witness to Him. But they went out and ministered to other people and said, how is it they believe in Him whom they have not seen? We believe in whom we've seen. But look at them. Think about the transformation in their minds. Man, we bore witness and we're testifying to the witness of who He is. But these guys are testifying like they were there and they weren't. We were, but they weren't. How can they know Him in this way? That's the part that God wants to reveal to us. Yeah. And we can't get it if we're saying, well, I didn't know it like they did. You know, Paul doesn't get to walk in our day. You know, Peter doesn't get to walk in our day. Instead of saying we didn't get to walk in our day, in their day, we get to walk in the day that they prophesied. Mm-hmm. And how, your word is mind blow, would they have been yes. to go, you know, when they see someone talking about Jesus saying, how could you possibly know that? You never met Him. We did. And you're talking about Him like you were there with us when you weren't. That's in us today.
Yeah.
That same revelation in our careers, in our, whatever it is, whatever our endeavors are, God will honor you there. He will honor you in ways, the word says, that exceed your imagination, but let that happen. Don't try to make God our imagination. Let us share His imagination, because it's exceeding beyond what we would know to ask or think. And that takes a little bit of trust in who He is and saying, God, I'm going here, and guess what? I'm where I need to be, as I need to be. As Paul said, whatever state I find myself in, there make I myself to be content, because I know Christ is with me, is what he was saying. God's with me in this, and if He's there, this is the greatest season of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And our inability to see beyond, even when let's say there is progress, when you bring it up, Abraham makes me think of, okay, God promises this great nation, but he says, show me a sign, give me a son. So he gives him the son, but, and so he says, this is my seed. But then the New Testament completely recontextualizes it and saying that when he was talking about seeds, he wasn't talking about many seeds, he was talking about the one seed.
Jesus.
And so that's a perfect picture of just how we can just run with what we think even God's telling us maybe very clearly to do with our belief of what it means in one way, when all along, no, it means something different in a far better way. It's not even that it's changing.
Yeah.
It's just we don't speak that same language that God speaks.
Yeah. And you know what? God doesn't put us in a maze.
No.
We put ourselves in a maze. Yeah. It really isn't that complicated, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a child. We complicate the issue because God doesn't answer us according to our will. He never said that. He said, if you pray according to my will, he said, I'll do it. So what should be the first thing we seek for? Your will, so I know how to pray.
Yeah.
And we find that in just being thankful. God, I thank you. This is the day. He gave us a lot of context in the word. This is the day that you've made. I'm just thankful for it. I mean, that sets that sets the tone of the day. You know, that kind of balances all your chemistry out to begin with. This is the greatest season of my life. I say that all the time. It isn't that we don't face challenges all the time, but what kind of day has the challenges presented to me? What door is it opened? Greatest season of my life, because now I'm going to believe God for something different. God is not boring. You know, I'll be honest, Steve, if we had it our way, I think we'd be so bored, we wouldn't care about eternal life. everything just turns out the way we want. I remember watching this movie one time, and this guy just wanted heaven to be everything that he wanted. And it's an old movie, but it just made me think. And he got everything the way he wanted. Everything turned out. All the money, all the fame, all just everything he could imagine, everything he could dream of that he wanted. All the girlfriends and all the people serving him. He got it all. And at one point, he just comes to the place and he's just going, man, I, he went out, and I think he went out and gambled one time and he won. No matter what he did, he just won. Everything was just a win for him. And he comes to the angel and he says, I can't handle this anymore. He said, there's no excitement. There's no joy. He said, I want to go to the other place. I want to go to hell. And the guy said, you are in hell. Having your own way could be a living hell.
Yeah.
Because it is so quickly consumed and so dissatisfying. But God's way, my God, his way is perfect, the word says. And it opens up so many endless eternal opportunities and experiences with God's glory. And that's really what time is. Real time, kingdom time, is one glory to another. The word says we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And if we begin to look at it in that perspective, like, God, you always answer me because of your faithfulness. And what I didn't get today is not the answer. It's what I did get. Help me to see what that is. Because
yeah.
I got something today. Something took place in my life because your glory is endless and eternal. If it's no more than patience and confidence that you're with me, and I don't need things, you know, in order to satisfy me, I have the one and only. And in that, then God, of course, will provide your food and things, and God can bless you and increase you, and you can go on to do incredible things, great exploits. But we need to have a foundation that isn't shaky before we build that house. And that rock is Christ, and that's what we need to build our foundation on.
Amen. What a word. Thank you, Pastor.
Oh, thank you, Steve. What a great day, right? It's just, you know what it is? It's just endless. God is so endless and so, so good. My God, this God, his way is perfect.
Oh, man. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And until next time, let this be the greatest day of your life.
Always. God bless.